This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to pass along an opportunity for you to get some new information and some entertainment at the same time. I believe David Letterman used to call it infotainment. Now, that's a bit of a lighthearted introduction given the subject matter, which is quite serious. By now, most of you are familiar with Enbridge Line 5. That is a more than six-decade-old oil and gas pipeline, portions of which run right through the Straits of Mackinac. The energy company says it's perfectly safe. Environmentalists contend it is a ticking time bomb that is likely to one day cause irreparable harm to the waters that connect Lakes Michigan and Huron. My guest today lives in Ann Arbor and is known in this area for his theater and film acting work, but now he's moved into the realm of documentary filmmaking, and the focus is, in fact, Line 5. Barton Bunch last night released Line 5, Part 1, The Threat. Barton, welcome and thank you for the time today.
Thank you, David.
What exactly sent you on a journey of documentary?
Like many people, I hadn't thought about the Great Lakes I thought of them as an inexhaustible resource for the longest time. My dad, after dinner one night, he sat me down and he said, "Are you aware of Line 5?" And I knew of some pipeline activity in the Straits of Mackinac, but I hadn't really thought about what any risk might be. He starts giving me a bunch of facts. He starts saying, "We need to make a documentary about this." Now, he's never made a film before, and we've never worked together on anything before, but we took this on as a partnership that's been great. And I've learned, I mean, 2 days later, we were talking to Beth Wallace and Mike Schreiberg at the National Wildlife Federation, and I was completely—
And you were off and running.
I had my mind blown. I mean, and from there, we talked to Dave Schwab at the Water Center at U of M, who showed us the currents, how he's tracked the currents in the straits. And it made me quickly realize that oil could travel so quickly throughout our entire lake system.
So given those initial conversations and exposures to what is happening with Line 5 and what the issues are, did you go into the filmmaking process itself with a narrative in mind and a plan to support a particular hypothesis or agenda?
Not necessarily. I went in with my eyes wide open because I didn't, like I said, I knew nothing. And I said that to my dad. I said, "I don't know anything about it." And he said, "That's perfect. You know, that kind of, you'll be on a journey here and you'll be like the average person who learns as they go." And I think it would have been a mistake for me to go in and I mean, I care about these waters deeply and the ecology surrounding them and our culture and our industry that depends on these waters. But besides that, no, I couldn't go in with a message. What revealed itself later was not a message, but just an alert that we're in danger. If there were a spill in Line 5 at the Straits of Mackinac, and let's say that it was a worst-case scenario, let's imagine a million gallons, within a couple of days, that oil would move at different speeds and in different directions under the water and on the surface, far into Lake Michigan and into Lake Huron, and into all the groundwater wells and everything surrounding that. So if you can imagine Mackinac City, Mackinac Island, Bablo Island, if you can imagine those shores, they would be black with oil. The drinking water emergency would be enormous. I think that we would probably have a statewide drinking water emergency.
So those are among the concerns. As you approached going up there and actually doing the work of making the movie, where was the first place you decided to go and why?
When we went beyond our local interviews here, we traveled up north. We talked to a great guy named Roger Goth here, who's a retired hydrologist with the Straits Area Concerned Citizens up in Sheboygan. And he told us a lot about the real safety issues that are at work here. He really stressed us out, and he showed us exactly what we're looking at. From there, we traveled across the bridge. We shot a lot of outdoor stuff. We shot the water, like, you know, we filmed many, many sides of the Mackinac area. Especially, somebody recommended we go up and see those shutoff valve stations, and nobody was there. There's nobody at either the North
Station.
Nobody's
monitoring.
Nobody is monitoring it day to day. I mean, I know that there will be people coming in and out from time to time, and there are supposedly some employees and folks lifeguarding it at in St. Ignace.
But if there was a spill while you were standing there, nobody's home.
Nobody's home, and it would take hours for a Coast Guard vessel to arrive, and for, well, this time of year we have ice cover. You would have to break up the ice entirely, and we're talking about a 4.5-mile stretch. It's just, oil containment would be impossible.
We are talking with actor and filmmaker Barton Bund, who's just released the documentary Line 5, Part 1, The Threat. It involves a journey to the Straits of Mackinac, where in the watery depths lay a 65-year-old oil and gas pipeline that many believe to be a threat to the health of the Straits and the adjoining Great Lakes waters. Now, Barton, you've obviously done a great deal of research and were familiar with all of the conversations, controversies, and issues as you made your way through the process, both real and perceived. What did you learn that you didn't know by the end of the film?
Well, everything. I went into this with my eyes open and really without much. Really, at the end of last September, I knew nothing about this. But since then, and the process of putting a film together, it's like creating a master's thesis out of information that you only just got 4 months ago. I learned that I have a connection to these waters that is important to me. I learned that the connection that people have, it goes beyond just our personal lives, of course. This stretches into every pocket of our state's entire livelihood, that tourism would be destroyed, not just by the tainted waters, but will be tainted by reputation for generations to come. I don't think that tourism would ever fully return to Michigan in the way that we understand it now. I don't think that people would be going to Mackinac Island if they knew that there was a risk of any kind like that.
Did you seek out? Did you try and learn? Did you try and get familiar with Enbridge itself and find pieces that may have made you feel more comfortable or optimistic about the state of the protections that are in place to maintain the health of the Straits?
Well, talking to Enbridge did not make us feel any better. No, we went in, we'd done a bunch of interviews, and we talked to engineer Ed Tim from up north, and he really showed us how he had sort of deconstructed the whole entire design of the pipeline and where the risky spots really are. And we've gone through dive footage with him too, and we found bends, ovals, unsupported spans. We've found, of course, they're covered in quagga mussels and zebra mussels, which obscures our view of the pipeline, and they may be causing corrosive
damage to the coatings,
the coating itself. So when we went to Enbridge, we went in and we did ask him some tough questions. We went to Ryan Duffy, who's a PR man in Lansing. We got their answers, but when I asked him about the unmanned stations, for instance, he said, no, those stations are manned. We have people down at the South Station and the North Station, but we've gone several times. I plan to go later this week and shoot some more, actually. There was nobody there. And here he was, and we have pictorial evidence. And the guy is just, I mean, either he believes what he's saying, but what he's saying is far from the case, far from the facts, and it didn't make us feel any safer.
Regardless of how open a mind you went into the filmmaking process, you've obviously expressed a great deal of concern at the end of this process, at least for part one. Do you think there's going to be blowback? Are you going to be accused of having an agenda and a desired outcome?
Oh, sure. And I think that's already starting. I think the few articles that we've had that came out, you know, we've been trolled a little bit. And I even got this cryptic, strange message from somebody claiming to be, somebody who didn't reveal their identity to me but knew a lot about it and said they have a vested interest in this and they want to see this happen and this happen. They were helping us sort of – we got into a dialogue with them, and that was strange. I think there is blowback potentially there, but we're just here to create a dialogue around this. I don't know if we worked hard to keep our agenda out of this, but I think in the interviews you can tell that I'm stressed out, and you can tell that I'm, as I grew more and more aware of this, I think that I'm just looking at myself, just my hair is standing on end, and I think that I'll convey my terror.
So if I'm going to watch the film, and I will, what is going to be most shocking to me?
The first thing that you're going to see is a bent piece of pipe. You're going to see one of the two pipelines that has shifted is bent sideways. That looks like it could have been damaged from the currents. It could be that it was unsupported and it's sagging. Then there's another section that is sagging over a ridge and falls down and goes into a clay pile that's holding it up. The first things you're going to see are the pipe itself, which may make you want to throw up just looking at the condition of it. I mean, literally, it's sickening to look at. Then you're going to find out things like that the state doesn't have a plan for drinking water. If we were in a drinking water emergency, Enbridge themselves would be responsible for supplying our replacement drinking water. That just really blew my mind. Plus, in 2014, they did a safety exercise up there where they put out boom along the shoreline to show, oh, we're okay. We have the capability of capture. But those booms can't be anchored in 250 feet of water. It's too deep. Plus, the currents are moving back and forth. It's 10 times the amount of water that goes over Niagara Falls. is moving back and forth between there every couple of days. And it just, I mean, I tried to contain my shock as I was going along and hearing this information, but we just have too much evidence to let Enbridge lie to us the way that they have. And I was a little hard on the guy. I hope I wasn't too rough on him, but we just had tough questions and we had a half hour to get it all out. And I couldn't put anything out there that I didn't have confidence in and that was a bold-faced lie. So it was shocking.
So Barton, part one is right there in the title. I assume that means there is a part two on the way.
This is part of an entire feature-length documentary that we're doing. So we're putting out the first 30 minutes is what we're doing here because the time we just couldn't wait any longer. Later in this year, either in summer or early fall, we're trying to time out the release of the entire feature to come around. Well, it is an election year. And so part one is covering, I think, a lot of the shocking evidence about the currents, the safety, the emergency preparedness and things like that. Part two is going to get very much into the politics and the relationship between Enbridge and our government, which I think that our government has prioritized the needs of an oil company over the needs of an entire state.
That is Ann Arbor filmmaker Barton Bund. Once again, thank you for stopping by WEMU and good luck with the film.
Thank you, David.
You can find out all the information you need about Barton Bund and the film Line 5, Part 1, The Threat. You'll find it at line5film.com. If you didn't get a chance to write that down, we'll have links available to you at our website, which, of course, is WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Resources Commissioner, and you hear it every Wednesday on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.